So without further ado, let's say hello to the head coach of the Detroit Lions, Jim Schwartz. Jim, as always, you're on with Pat Kerwin, Jim Miller, Moving the Chains, Sirius XM, NFL Radio. How are we doing this week, Coach?
I'm well. Getting ready for Saturday night with the Falcons.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, let's start first. We'll get into the game here a little bit. Nick Fairley, we talked about him last week, was really coming on strong, doing some good things. Just the ankle too much where you had to place you had to place Nick Fairley on IR for the season.
Well, Nick wasn't an ankle. Nick was a shoulder,
gotcha,
chest, arm, you know, up in that area. And it was a situation that he wasn't going to be able to play. And also, not only that, but it was a situation that right now only requires rest, that if he had played, there was potential that it could have gotten where it would have been a surgical surgery situation. And that's one of the things we didn't want. It was disappointing for him to go to IR. He's such a competitor, but it was the best decision. We'd had a lot of depth at our defensive tackle position, came in with four quality defensive tackles, had lost Corey Williams for most of the year, but Nick's presence really made up for that. And you saw all the reasons that Nick got drafted early and showed what a good career he can have, because there were times this year that he really dominated games and tackles for losses and sacks and chasing down plays. He got great speed for a guy that's, it's over 300 pounds.
There's no doubt he does. He's an explosive athlete. And it's this time of year, I try to tell us, the listeners, they said with 2 weeks to go, and if your team's not in the hunt, you know, IR is a smart move, and it also gives you a chance to bring someone up if, in fact, you have someone on the practice squad that you're interested in.
Yeah, I mean, we probably would have I don't know if we would have been able to wait if we had been a playoff team. It's definitely a situation that's going to require rest. We're still hopeful that we can get Brandon Pettigrew back, and he's missed a couple games with an ankle that he got on the Sunday night game at Green Bay. But as long as there's a chance that they can play, we're willing to hang in there. But Nick had just gotten to the point that he wasn't going to be back on the field, and he was going to need rest over a period of time, and it was the best decision for him and for our team.
Well, Coach, you're looking to rebound, obviously, after last week's loss to Arizona. What was disappointing to you about the game last week, and what you're really focusing on for your team the last two ball games?
Like you said, rebound is a good word. Arizona had terrible loss to Seattle the week before, 58-0, and they were able to rebound at home and get a win and stop a 9-game losing streak. We have a 6-game losing streak. We need to rebound at home. Probably, I would say, disappointing, but the thing that cost us the game was turnovers. We muffed a punt that led to 7 points. We had two pick sixes that were 14 points. And then there was another turnover that they got the ball first and goal on the 3-yard line. They had 28 points in that game were due to turnovers. And, it's been well documented, the effect that turnovers have. We got a turnover early in the game, really didn't take too much advantage of it, but, turnovers play a big part in this game. Also, the Giants, Eli Manning threw a couple picks early in the game last week against the Falcons. Falcons were able to capitalize on it and obviously won the game 34-0 in an impressive fashion. The week before that, the Falcons had lost to Carolina, and Carolina took advantage of some turnovers and some sacks, and we got to do the same thing.
Jimmy, is there anything you haven't seen people try to do to Calvin yet in your time with Calvin Johnson?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've seen people double him in the red zone, but I think this Arizona game was the first time that we've ever seen people put like a punt-like vice on him, and that's something that we have to be able to make somebody pay for. We've talked about Calvin and the attention he gets, and it's really amazing that he's on a record pace, even though he gets doubled on every single play, and teams start off with their game plan with trying to take Calvin away. And it's a sign of a great player that you can still be successful, and also Matt Stafford's ability to get in the ball and Scott Linehan's ability to scheme plays for him. But we also need other players to step up. We didn't have enough other guys make plays in the game. And Calvin's going to carry our load. He's going to shoulder the load, but he can't do it all by himself. And we need contributions from our other wide receivers and tight ends and running backs. And contributions meaning scores, first down conversions on third downs, explosive plays. We didn't get enough of those, and that we were never able to make the Cardinals pay for the game plan that they had trying to take Calvin out. Calvin still had 120 yards, but like I said, it wasn't enough because we didn't make enough plays around him.
Well, I love how you described it, Coach, because you said they were playing basically like boxing one on him because he plays above the rim, almost a basketball analogy. But you mentioned earlier, do you hope to get Pettigrew back this week? Is that for sure?
Well, I don't know if he'll be back this week, but we haven't put him on IR, so we're still hopeful that we can get him back. If not this week, then maybe next. But we'll just have to take it day by day with him. He hasn't been on the practice field at all this week. But he's an experienced player. He's been around. He knows our scheme. And, you know, if he was feeling good on Saturday, he wouldn't have needed practice to be able to go out and contribute for us. And like I said, anybody else that we can put on the field as a playmaker can help take some of that load off of Calvin. And Pettigrew will go a long way to helping us.
Mikel LeSure, for me, interesting guy. Hasn't really had, I think he's got one, maybe two games with 20 carries. You'd know better than me. Your thoughts on him and you know, maybe strengthening his workload. Sometimes it's situational, Jimmy. I know it as well as anybody. Your thoughts on him and getting him more work, if possible.
Yeah, he's also dealt with some nagging things here and there. He's had, you know, a calf that's bothered him a little bit. And, you know, this week he's had a quad that's bothered him a little bit. And, he has had some things here and there that, affected him, you know, a little bit. And I think the other thing is that Joik Bell has also been a big contributor on offense for us. So they haven't been actually splitting reps, but Joik has also gotten some carries. You go back and last win that we had was against Jacksonville, and that whole fourth quarter salt in the game away was all Joik Bell. So, we need our running backs, particularly Mikel LeSure, to carry a load for us. Atlanta, as good as they're playing, they're 12-2, and coming off their most impressive win of the season, 34-0 against the New York Giants. They're giving up as 4.9 yards of rush as a team, and we're certainly going to need contributions out of our running backs. And like I said, we need other guys to be able to make a play in addition to Calvin. And whether that's running the ball or catching the ball out of the backfield, you know, Mikel LeSure, just like all our guys, they don't say they need to do extra or they need to go out of the bounds of the scheme, but they got to, when their number's called, they got to be able to make a play. Mikel had one run last week that he was an ankle tackle away from going about 70 yards for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And that's a play we got to kick out of that block or out of that tackle. And go score. And he's real close on some of them, but we can all do a little bit more to support Calvin.
Well, you mentioned the Falcons, Coach, because they feel it was their best game last week against the New York Giants. And you mentioned complementary weapons too. I mean, it seemed like Roddy White wasn't the focus. It looked like more Julio Jones last week, plus Tony Gonzalez, and we know about the run game. Just maybe discuss the weaponry that the Atlanta Falcons have and how difficult they are to defend.
Yeah, last year I heard a lot of criticism of the Falcons of, they were very bold in their efforts to go up and draft Julio Jones. They gave up a lot of draft picks to do it. They made a really big, bold move to move up and get him. And last year, a hamstring issue. He's a rookie wide receiver, not always immediate impact player. And a lot of people were questioning their motives and whether that was the right thing to do for their team. I doubt you're hearing one peep of anybody saying that this year.
That is a fact.
The kid's got nine touchdowns. He's just explosive player. He can go deep and run past guys like he did last week against the Giants. But he can also catch a hitch and run through somebody and go score. He's really, really strong. A couple of years ago, Atlanta was known as a run team. It was Michael Turner's team, and they ran the ball and played defense, and that was their formula. But they got into playoffs against, I think it was Green Bay, and even though they had the best record in the NFC and had home field advantage, Green Bay went down there and beat them because Green Bay had a little more firepower. They've had Roddy White, and, you know, he's a really good player for him, a Pro Bowl player. But adding a Julio Jones on the opposite side stretches defenses, and then having a Hall of Fame tight end like Tony Gonzalez, and then also the run game, you know, really complements all of it. It makes it very difficult for defenses to devote too many resources to one guy. You know, and having one corner is not enough. You know, even a team with a really good shutdown corner, there's still another wide receiver that you need to deal with. So they definitely you know, they definitely put a lot of pressure on you. They have a good quarterback, a tough offensive line, and, you know, there's a reason that they've won 12 games this year. They've won some close games, but they're like you said, complementary players. It's amazing. Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez and Julio Jones, I think they have 22 touchdowns between the three of them.
Well, last one for me, Coach, because, you know, everybody does draw the comparisons. Is it Matt Ryan? Is it Joe Flacco? Same draft, you know. And you look at how your quarterback's developed. I mean, would you say that this is Matt Ryan's, without a doubt, his best season in the National Football League? What is really elevating this guy? Other than the Arizona game, I think he threw 5 picks in the Arizona game. This guy is really playing at a high level.
Yeah, he has good support around him, like we talked before about a run game, but also a tight end and the two wide receivers. And, you know, he doesn't have to, do anything more than get the ball to those guys. Matt Ryan's a really good quarterback. He's got, you know, a good ratio of touchdowns to interceptions, and he's led his team to wins. So, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, people can talk about whether it's, you know, his best year or not. Our job is to make sure that Saturday night's not his best night.
Last one for me, Jim. You satisfied for the last 2 days how practice has gone?
You know, we're on a short week. You know, Tuesday we came back and had a walkthrough. It was sort of a Wednesday-type schedule, but we didn't do anything physically on the field. We had a team lift, and we walked through. And, you know, you got to be able to bounce back, and I think our players have. Last couple days, been back on the practice field, and practice has never been, you know, part of our issues. Our guys practice hard. We have a really good tempo in practice. It's just about making plays on Sunday, or in this case, Saturday night. And, you know, if we can do that, then we'll be in good position. We can go get a win.
Jimmy, good luck. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Appreciate it, Coach. Good luck to you Saturday night. Merry Christmas to you and your
family. Merry Christmas, guys.